Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
No Christian McCaffrey, no problem. 49ers, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. No McCaffrey, so just put Jordan Mason in the game. He'll run for 147 yards on 28 carries. And the offense for San Francisco, Pearl, was in mid-season form, I thought. Outside of Brandon Ayuk, who had a couple misses, maybe a little bit rusty, Trent Williams came back, basically played the entire game. Did have to get an IV at one point, but the offense looked good. They were converting on third downs. They were keeping Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. Time of possession in this one last night, where the 49ers win this game easily, 32-19, was 40-20, basically. I mean, yeah. Rodgers didn't even get a chance, really, to start cooking.
I mean, he did have a drive early that I think got really exciting for Jets fans. A couple things happened, too. Remember, Fred Warner had a punch, got a fumble early in the game. So the Jets really just, they never had a chance to get rolling offensively. And the Niners did have every chance to get rolling.
Yep.
All the first downs. The funny thing about it, McCaffrey was gone. The fact that the Niners could go have Debo in the backfield, it's like you forget. They just have a lot of weapons. They have a lot of weapons. They have a lot of answers. They actually can deal with a couple guys not being there. McCaffrey and Ayuk being rusty. So I'm not coming away with anything negative about the Jets there in this game. Yeah, Jordan Mason ran all over them, and I understand that's. Are you really concerned if you're a Jets fan? And I know Jets fans are going to say yes. Are you really concerned that they're going to be one of the worst run defenses in the league? I just don't see that happening. The Niners do a bunch of things that are really tricky, and it was in San Francisco.
I get that, and there's the institutional knowledge of Robert Saleh, though, was the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers for a team that was really successful. I'm not saying he should be able to stop the run, but you thought he could. I mean, you know more than anybody how Kyle Shanahan does this thing and that sort of magic, and they just had zero answer.
Yeah, but I'll bet you they find some answers next week at Tennessee.
So that's the interesting part, okay? Maybe you forgive. I think this was disappointing for Jets fans. I'm not going to lie. You had a lot of high hopes. You thought maybe you were catching San Francisco, you know, with a very eventful training camp with guys holding out. And there was just a lot of outside noise that clearly didn't seem to affect them one bit. But, you know, I think you're definitely disappointed if you're a Jets fan. You thought there was going to be, you thought you were going to come in with a good defense. Again, a top five defense last year. You think you can kind of hang with anybody, and that wasn't the case at all.
I just following social media and seeing Aaron Rodgers after the game, I sensed an air of positivity around the Jets. I know that sounds weird. Rodgers was probably choosing to be positive, but he didn't look worried. And after the game, you saw the Jets were chilling and exchanging uniforms, and like everybody was in a decent mood. I don't sense that. I don't think there should be a wild sense of disappointment after this loss.
So,
because you did get, like, you saw a glimpse of what could be.
That third drive.
Yeah.
So after they had a bad drop by Alan Lazard where they couldn't sustain a drive on the first drive, Breece Hall fumbles on first down on the second drive, so that never got going. The third drive was beautiful. That was a beaut. Because that's Rodgers converting on third and seven. That's him making something happen on third and eight. You know, it's, and that's Breece Hall running and getting down to the goal line and Garrett Wilson getting targeted on the sidelines and all the good things you want. We really didn't see that again. At one point, you thought they were mounting another good drive, but the, like, eye in the sky. I don't know what we're calling it. I'm calling it the eye in the sky.
The New York officiating office?
Like the home office.
Actually, it's not really an eye in the sky, but it's not coming from that stadium.
Yeah. Headquarters, HQ, the mothership.
Everyone on the broadcast calls it New York.
New York. Okay, just yeah. New York in general. Thought that Garrett Wilson had a first down, and it would have been a very big play. And Garrett Wilson, the New York calls in and says, no, actually, it wasn't a first down. His second toe was out of bounds. And so now you go to you go back to the drive, and the Jets could not convert on a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1. And this is when you were only down 16. Okay, so you're down 2 scores, but you still had a lot of time left in the game. And then it just they never could get anything going after that. And I think it kind of threw them off.
Well,
you got to be able to get a yard.
I think the game was kind of over at that point.
It's a two-score game.
Two-score game with, two-point conversions. I mean, what was the win probability? Probably 98%. And I don't think that the Jets were knocking on the door. Also, they just clearly couldn't stop the run on that night. I don't think the game was in balance at that point. Maybe you think it was a little closer than I did. But regardless, though, this is, like, Breece Hall is not going to be stuffed every game. It's just not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, as long as he's healthy, there is a lot to build on here. And Mike Williams will get healthier. They'll have a second receiver. And honestly, just the little things that happened, it was possession, the Niners. We have no idea what the Jets offense could have done if they were on the field more. Maybe they get a little bit of a bigger lead. They were up 7-6. Maybe they get a bigger lead and, or was it 7-6? Or so they were up 7-3, yep. And then it was 7-6, and the Niners couldn't run as much. I mean, this game flow, this schedule is not bad, Maggie. I'm telling you, if you get that game from Aaron Rodgers, you're gonna end up with 10 wins.
Okay, so the obvious bigger issue is whether this lingers against Tennessee. Now, short week, fly back across the country, then you go on the road yet again to Tennessee. Now, Will Levis may be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if that's an overreaction. Just because of the decision-making, his arm is dynamite. But he's got a huge arm, Pearl. You cannot.
I don't know.
Now you're just being disingenuous.
I mean, his arm talent, like when you think of arm talent, it's not just ability to throw it hard downfield. Like, I don't see anything there. He feels stiff to me.
Okay, well, whatever. He made a terribly horrible decision when you basically, the game I know was only 17-16 against the Chicago Bears, but there's a reason why people say Will Levis could have just taken a knee the rest of the game and somehow Chicago, like, yeah, they couldn't get anything going.
Coach said they should have punted on first down and they would have won.
Yeah.
That's an indictment.
It's going to be a hell of a strategy. Yeah, EJ.
Oh, I saw a funny tweet from shout out to Kyle Brandt. He was like, well, the Bears did block a punt and return a touchdown. So maybe Brian Callahan.
That's a good
think
point.
Twice about punting every day. Every
yeah. But anyway, yes, you obviously get way more concerned if somehow Tennessee corrects some of the mistakes. If Will Levis all of a sudden becomes a better decision maker overnight, it's not like they have no weapons in Tennessee, but they were not good.
They spend millions of dollars on that receiver room. They have, I know, Hopkins is hurt all the time, obviously, but they paid a lot for Calvin Ridley. They paid for Tyler Boyd. They drafted Treylon Burks at 16.
Pollard looked fine.
Yeah, he would look
score
good.
Score touchdown.
No, there's no excuse. I think, obviously, Levis can't play worse. That's impossible. But I think the Jets are going to fix this. Even if they go 0-2, I'm not worried about the Jets. I feel good about what I saw last night. And I don't think I'm alone. I sense some optimism out there. A little bit of, I don't feel like the sky is falling. I'm not getting that normal Jets sky is falling. I'm around some Jets fans. I mean, EJ, you're a Jets fan. Did you walk away saying this feels really depressing?
No, it was more frustrating. It was more frustrating because you feel like if there's any going to be any question mark about this team, you expect it to be Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers' health potentially, not this defense that we keep being told is elite.
Yeah.
And at times has shown to be elite. I mean, remember, Salah got in trouble for making that statement about how we were embarrassing all these good quarterbacks. But outside of Dak Prescott, I mean, they did play extremely well against the really good quarterbacks and really good offenses last year. So I kind of expect even after that rough first half stopping the run, they'd fix themselves. And the fact that they couldn't was just surprising. But I think Ryan made a good point earlier in the show. They made some changes on that defensive line, and none of them have really worked yet. Hassan Reddick hasn't showed up. I was not the biggest John Franklin Myers fan, but, like, they didn't replace him with anybody. So now you have these young guys coming into play. I mean, Jermaine Johnson was just getting trucked by Trent Williams.
I mean, yeah.
You want to talk about a mismatch? People told me how great Jermaine Johnson is. I mean, he looked like he should have been back in college playing against Trent Williams. So, you know, a strength for the Jets looked like a weakness last night. So I want to see if they can get that fixed.
Here is Robert Saleh on the frustration of the Jets defense failing to stop the Niners offense.
Yeah, it's anytime you get run on like that. And credit to them, like I said, it's a championship outfit, and they introduced us to some championship football. And we'll get that fixed.
Well, get it fixed quickly. Here's Aaron Rodgers on what led to the Jets' offensive issues.
We were just bad on first and second down, I think, for a lot of the game. And then, you know, we had a couple drives. We converted third downs. But overall, you know, I feel like we didn't have any third and 10 pluses tonight, so that's always a good thing. We look in the stat sheet, but we didn't convert those third and mediums. You know, we had a drop, we had a couple penalties, had a bad throw.
Yeah. Overall, though, you saw a little of the promise with Rodgers on some third downs, but they just couldn't sustain anything and with the few chances that they actually had. Meanwhile, you have the 49ers who are riding Jordan Mason 147 yards on 28 carries, and they were just a house. I mean, and they had no answers at all. 855-212-4227. Rodgers didn't even play the last 4 minutes of the game. They took him out and put Tyrod Taylor in. Just also shows you, and that was fine. You're waving the white flag. You're not going to win that game anyway, but how careful they've got to be. And I'm not going to say load management, because you can't really do that in the NFL outside of like a meaningless week 18, but they're going to be very careful with this. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And they should be.
Yeah. Again, but I think he saw enough last night to really kind of be psyched. I don't know. Maybe I'm following the Jets.
I don't know about psyched.
I am, honestly. Two drives that Rodgers had were probably better than anything we've seen, except for the one good game Sam Darnold had. It's just a low bar there, right?
Well, that's for sure. 855-212-4227. You want to watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsDebt. Okay, so we've got some other news stories that are going on today, and they're big ones. Tyreek Hill was detained, is the right way to put it, put in handcuffs before the game on Sunday as he was driving to the Dolphin Stadium, Pearl. He was speeding, got cited for speeding. Now, NPR is reporting that he was going 60 miles an hour. Apparently, Tyreek told them he was going 55 in a 40. NPR is reporting that he is going 60. So there was some thoughts out there that maybe he's like going 100 miles an hour. So far, we have not seen anything like that. We do have the body cam footage, though, that got released yesterday. I want to play it for you. So you're going to hear as this situation starts to escalate, okay? So first we'll tell you that Tyreek Hill, let me paint the picture for you. He's in his car, he's pulled over, and at one point the window is down, then he puts the window up, then the officer's knocking on the window telling him to put it back down again. Here is a Tyreek Hill with the officer.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Don't knock on my window.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Knock on my window like that.
Like what? Why you have it on?
Let's go to more. This is Tyreek Hill getting arrested after the cops pull him out of the car.
Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm going to get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Give me that.
Get out of the car.
Give me that. Break the window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. 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 What part of law don't you understand? Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Okay, so you can hear the first officer's talking to him, say, put down the window. Then another cop comes in kind of from the side, Perloff, not the one with the body cam. That's a third officer who's kind of recording the whole thing. The second officer comes in, and he's like, in fact, get out of the car, and kind of just rips him out of the car, falls to the ground. The cell phone goes flying, and he's saying, call Drew Rosenhaus, who is his agent. Here's an officer yelling that Tyreek Hill's not complying as they're arresting him.
I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. Damn, twin.
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
you understand?
Out. I'm getting out.
You
bro.
Understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
A little confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late.
Chill,
too
bro.
Late.
All right, bro. Take too me late. To jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It
hey,
is good.
Hey, Drew. Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. Can you stop crying?
Cops now forcibly bringing Tyreek Hill to the ground, and you hear Hill saying, I just had knee surgery.
Hold on, man. I just had surgery on my knee. I just had surgery on my knee, bro.
In your ears when we come here with you.
Chill, bro. Hey, Joe New, bro.
Back up.
Hey, call Drew.
Chaotic scene, Pearl. And, you know, the part about, there's a lot of this, obviously, where it feels like the police definitely got way too aggressive here, did not de-escalate. When he says, when the police says, you must be confused about how this is going to work, right? Like, that's the moment where I feel like the cops do themselves no favors, right?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill wasn't being, like, he wasn't a threat. Maybe it was a perceived threat if he didn't put the window down all the way. But at that point, he's definitely not a threat. You have him out of the car. And to be like, you have this confused on how this is working. It's like, well, are we, listen, in a perfect world, are we working together here to try to get to a solution?
You pulled
me over for speeding. Let's try to get through this thing, because Hill's obviously saying, give me the ticket and let me go. I'm trying to get to the stadium. And the cops are, you know, want him to just put down the window and. There's a power struggle here.
Yeah, it feels like there was a battle of egos, like a mano a mano battle. Like, I'm the bigger man here. Well, at least the cops were engaging in a battle of egos, which doesn't seem like the right kind of behavior. I mean, you did hear one line in the clip. There are a couple lines in the clip that, why are you knocking at my window? Seems like a really inappropriate line from somebody who's getting pulled over from the cops.
Right, right.
Which is why, like, this, I do think that this case is going to have some layers to it. I think the cops are going to come in, if it did go to court. If Tyreek sued, I think it'd be a very complicated case, because they have some things to say here, too, about Tyreek Hill not being compliant. Now, that being said, weird things happen when you get arrested. I think there's like a flow of adrenaline, and I'm not sure. That's why the cops have to act professionally and try to de-escalate it, too, because I think it's hard to understand what's going on both sides. It did feel like, why the cops felt petty. Like, you understand how this is going to work. Like, That wasn't necessary, but I do think it's a much bigger picture. I do think this is going to go, there's going to be back and forth from both sides. I don't think it's going to be all one-sided. I think the cops are going to keep on coming back and saying, listen, this guy was doing what he thought he had to do in the moment. They're going to keep on saying that.
Maybe, but they also have already put him on administrative leave, right? And that happened right away.
Right.
So that, I'm not saying that's an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
But they definitely have the body cam footage before it gets leaked yesterday. And they see how this all went down. There's other officers at the scene who can corroborate a story or say, you know, what happened. And they think they knew they were going to have a public relations nightmare on their hands. And meanwhile, Tyreek Hill's on CNN last night saying,
yeah,
hey, I'm just a family man. It's like, all right, I'll roll my eyes at that. But, you know, the idea that he was the victim here and that he's got a moral high ground, I think that the police saw this and recognized, like, oh man, this is not going to look good for us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
Again, it's layers, because Tyreek Hill's not the perfect victim here.
No, he's not.
When you look at the big picture, like, you don't really want him to be an advocate, because I think his past is not good.
No, certainly not. Now, does that play into Sunday? That's an interesting question. It's almost like you can't, if you really know Tyreek Hill's background and you really know, and you're like not the casual fan who may have no idea about what happened at Oklahoma State or may not have any idea about the child abuse accusations, the domestic violence stuff. If you don't know any of that, then you see this and it's, and by the way, he did look like a victim in this video, right? It did look like the cops were being overly aggressive and ripping him out of the car and throwing him down to the ground. It's kind of like both things can be true, but you're right. For him to be like, he's like, I want to use my platform to get this out. That's fine, but he is not a perfect messenger. Maybe you don't have to be a perfect messenger for this specific thing, but for people who really have been tracking Tyreek Hill's career, I'm not saying he doesn't have a leg to stand on here. He does, but you kind of like, really? Like, this is somebody who's had their encounters with the police when he was 100% in the wrong and admitted guilt, especially with, you know, kicking and punching his pregnant girlfriend back when he was in college. EJ, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, the points about Tyreek's past definitely are going to be brought up, and they're going to be talked about a bunch when it comes to this case. But at the same time, I think, and when I go back to even the conversation about how Tyreek acted in this, what we unfortunately see in a lot of these instances, it doesn't really matter what your background is It is, sometimes doesn't even matter if you're perfect. You're perfectly compliant with the police. Sometimes we see people who are perfectly compliant with the police, and we have these incidents of use of force, which is why I think this is going to be, it has been very jarring for folks, because there are a lot of people of color for sure, who watch this and say, okay, what can I do
right.
if an officer is acting out of turn?
Right.
If I'm perfectly compliant, we've seen people get shot or use of force being put on them. If right. I'm upset about something and I voice that, like Tyreek Hill does about him smashing the window or whatever, then they throw you on the ground anyway. Sometimes it feels like these incidents are a lose-lose battle for folks. And the police here showed no kind of sensitivity to that and no, again, effort to de-escalate. If you're in a situation where Tyreek Hill, again, has a gun or he's wanted for an arrest or wanted for something violent, then maybe there is more reason to be aggressive and to be assertive in talking to him. But if you're talking about a traffic stop,
right,
and you're talking about, okay, how do we protect and serve the public? How do we protect and serve Tyreek Hill in this instance? It just didn't feel like any of those efforts were made to make this as smooth as possible. It seemed like, as Pearl said, it became a tit for tat where, oh, you're going to say, stop knocking on my window. I'm going to say, keep rolling on your window. Oh, you're going to say, what's the name? You're going to say you had knee surgery. Well, I'm going to say, well, you know, maybe your ears need surgery because you're not listening to me tell you to get on the ground. Like, it didn't feel like the officers showed really much professionalism. And
yeah.
Again, no matter what you do, you could end up being in these situations with the police sometimes.
855-212-4227. That's well said. You're welcome to weigh in on the Tyreek Hill situation. Obviously, the body cam footage is all out there. And what do you think? They play Thursday night, by the way. So we got a little quick turnaround here for the Dolphins, who are on a short week. We also have some news with Deshaun Watson. It's a heavy news day. We also are going to debut a new segment today on a lighter note. Take a look at the rookies.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, me too. We're going to do that next. Maggie and Perla.
Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
Which rookies are on the rise and whose stock took a tumble? Maggie and Perloff give their rookie power rankings.
Love this. We're going to be doing it weekly now because this rookie class has been so interesting. And I think when we created this, Pearl, we thought it'd be quarterback heavy. Just going to. That didn't really happen week one.
No.
No, it did not. All right. So we're each going to give our top 5 rookie performances of the week, or not in performances, the rookie power ranking, sort of who's on top. So do you want to go first and go 5-1?
No, I don't want to go first,
okay, because
I'm still getting
first.
My order in. Are we going 5-1 or we're not alternating? It's always, you never know with these things.
No, got to go 5-1. We're going to each do our list of the top 5 rookie power rankings. I'm ready to go.
Get it.
I'm always ready. Born ready. Maggie Gray's top 5 rookies after week one. Number 5, Perloff, is Talese Fuaga, offensive lineman at New Orleans Saints.
Not a real person. Start off.
He is.
He's the Cam Jurgens of the Saints offensive line.
I just hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
You're not.
I'm always ready, but am I always ready? Because
wait, that wasn't right. I have no
is
idea.
Is it Talese?
I mean, he's new to me. So if he's number 5,
but
congratulations.
He's the first round
State
pick.
University, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. It was a juggernaut performance from the New Orleans Saints. So let's go with Fuaga, number 5. Number 4 in my rookie power rankings, Brian Thomas Jr. in a losing effort in a game the Jags probably should have won. Acrobatic catch on the touchdown. This guy's a dude. We knew it coming out of LSU, and Jacksonville should have won that game. Number 3 on my rookie power rankings, Kingsley Suimatia. Did I get that one right, Bogish? No.
You finished it? What?
You sort of trailed off there halfway through, man.
No, was there a niner in there?
Kingsley, you got right.
Suimatia. BYU, Oregon.
Remember when she was always ready?
So glad she went for it. No, trust me. That was bad? Can you imagine me trying these names?
He was awesome.
He better be awesome.
He is better than how I pronounce his name, and I apologize for that. But Chiefs offensive tackle, starting at left tackle for the defending two-time Super Bowl champs, appointed himself very well against the Baltimore Ravens, who are one of the scariest defenses traditionally in the NFL. Number three, I go back-to-back with Chiefs here. Xavier Worthy, who Perloff yawned at his two-touchdown performance. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver.
He had two catches.
Well, how many times did he get in the end zone? Thank you. Xavier Worthy, number two on Maggie's top five rookie power rankings. And number one on my power rankings, Perloff. He's not active right now, but man, Ricky Pearsall, for being alive, you are number one on my power rankings. How he has recovered from this very scary incident of being robbed at gunpoint in the middle of the day. He gets shot. The other guy got shot. He was on the field yesterday thanking the first responders who helped save his life. Ricky Pearsall will remain number one of my power rankings, I think, from here on out.
I feel like that's cheating, but I'm
she
jealous.
She stole your guy. You going to let her do this?
Ricky Pearsall? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's everybody's guy now. Did you see him hugging the cops yesterday? I'll share him.
I wasn't sure if that was actually, like, that had been a little traumatic for him to see these people again so soon. It has to flood you with memories. Obviously, you want to thank
that dude is going to be out on the field in 3 weeks, which is the most amazing thing.
Okay, do your top five rookie power rankings before Bogish has his update.
Okay, I had to adjust this last night because we saw the 49ers running game, and they have a rookie guard named Dominic Pooney.
Yeah, Pooney.
Pooney. I feel weird saying that word.
It's not Pooney.
Okay.
It's Pooney.
Dominic Pooney. It seemed like he was our road grader, as we like to say in the biz. So he had this incredible preseason. Everyone was talking about him, and he totally delivered. So he's my number five.
Yeah.
Number four, you're going to be mad at me. Xavier Worthy.
Oh,
I mean, dude.
You flip-flopper.
Come on. All right. Yes, he the guy had two touchdowns. What's your problem?
And you wonder why we want to stuff you in a locker sometimes.
So the thing about Xavier Worthy is he's a gadget weapon. I'm going to give him that because I wanted to put all wide receivers here, but they really didn't show out that much this week. So Xavier Worthy, to me, was an easy one here. Okay. Number three, Brian Thomas, who you mentioned too, he also had a big pass interference call against him. He's a massive problem.
Yep.
In a league that showed they cannot pass long anymore, Brian Thomas on the Jags is going to be a big deal. Here's where I get controversial. I hate to do this. Sorry. I closed my mic for that, Logan. I have two Cowboys at one and two. Number two, Cooper Beebe.
Yeah.
The new center. 37 pass blocking reps. No sacks, no hits, no hurries.
Never played center before, right?
Never played center. He's huge. He's also good in the run game. I can't believe the Cowboys did this again. Then number one is also a Cowboy. And tell me if you guys think he's a rookie. So, Demarion Overshawn missed last year with an ACL injury.
He's not a rookie.
But he's never played in the NFL, so therefore he's a rookie, kind of like Joel Embiid was in the NBA.
It was BS when Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons got to win Rookie of the Year 5 years after they got drafted. He was drafted in 2023. He's not a rookie.
But what do you mean? So, why is he not a rookie? Because he's never played. If he had stayed in college, he'd be a rookie. He hasn't played in the NFL.
I thought we're going 2024 draft class here, Pearl.
No, we're going, it's rookie ranking. It's not 2024 draft class rankings.
I don't think it works like that in the NFL, number one. And number two, he's been exposed to NFL treatment, NFL lifestyle, NFL trainers, NFL chefs, NFL, all of the trappings of the NFL he's got.
Bogus, you're the judge here.
He's a rookie.
Thank
you. Guys.
Is he eligible for rookie defensive, whatever rookie of the year? Then he's a rookie.
Is he eligible?
If he is, he's a rookie.
Can I just give you one stat on him? He covered 14 yards in just 2.8 seconds on a sack of Deshaun Watson that became this social media clip. That's a closing speed of 5 yards per second. He's faster than Micah Parsons.
Because he's been exposed to NFL trainers for the last year, guys.
There's 700 other linebackers in the NFL, and none of them are faster than Micah Parsons. They've been exposed to NFL training. What are you talking about? Who cares? That dude is a freak.
You had to have been in college last year to be a rookie this year, in my opinion.
So you're saying he's faster than Micah Parsons because he's been exposed to NFL training?
I think it helps. I hated this when we did it with
ACL. It doesn't help. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do what he just did. I mean, it is weird that they got, we spent all offseason talking about Dak Prescott's contract and CeeDee Lamb's contract and Micah Parsons. And then I didn't even mention Marshawn Neal. And like they had a starting cornerback who's a rookie too. This was like a big hit. Somebody's doing smart things there.
Okay, good. No, it's not that he's not a good player. It's just I disagree with him being a rookie. I didn't think that Chet Holmgren was in a real race with Victor Wembanyama for rookie of the year last year. He gets to do everything else all in the NBA for an entire season. He gets to see how everyone trains. He gets the medical attention. He gets all the stuff that helps you and that disqualifies you, in my opinion, from being a rookie.
But and by the way,
like,
what's the big difference between Dallas? Texas football is a pro program, too. I mean, it's not like the facilities aren't amazing there. You don't think he's what's the big difference between NFL training and college training at that level?
Well, there's got to be a difference in everything because guys are great in college and then suck in the NFL, too. So you can't tell me that there's no difference between the University of Texas and the NFL, or if everyone who ever went to Texas would be awesome. Vince Young would be in the Hall of Fame
now. No, no, no. Your basic misunderstanding here is it's like the players are not good because they have NFL training tables. They're good because they're incredibly talented. Marvion Overshawn is not good because he had the right weight room. He's good because he's incredibly talented.
He is, but he's ahead of the pack of the other rookies because he's had this NFL exposure, in my opinion. Anyway, that's just me. We could argue about this till the cows come home, but I don't like it in the NBA either. Andrew Bogish is here. That's our top five rookie power rankings. We'll put them out on X at Maggie and Pearl, and you can tell us who had the better list.
Guys, there was the Brandon Ayuk saga, Trent Williams holdout. The Niners have been through a lot since losing the Super Bowl. Back on the field for real last night, they opened their season with a 32-19 dismissal of the Jets, even with that dud Brock Purdy under center.
Our culture, our team, what we stand for and how we all come together and find ways to win and rally around each other, we do it right here. And that's something that I stand on and firmly believe in, and we all do.
All Purdy did last night was hand off to Jordan Mason, who ran for 147 yards and a score after Christian McCaffrey was a surprise scratch with that summer calf issue. The Niners ran 21 more plays, had the ball for nearly 39 minutes, so Aaron Rodgers' offense didn't have much of a chance. But Rodgers made it through an entire game, throwing for 167 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Here's head coach Robert Saleh saying nothing.
For first game for Aaron and for the offense and all that stuff, I thought, like I said, there's going to be some good things that we can take away from. And now we just got to figure out a way to get better from week one to week two.
Breece Hall managed only 54 yards on the ground and lost a fumble. Now, if the Cold War between me and Perloff is your thing, let me introduce you to Michael Kay and John Flaherty. They are two of the 47 broadcasters that call Yankee games on TV here in New York. Kay is the main play-by-play voice. Flaherty's an analyst. They were paired together for a random weekend this past weekend at Wrigley, and it didn't go that great. The first voice you'll hear is Kay after Flaherty said Kay gave him the silent treatment on the bus to the ballpark.
Interesting narrative that you're putting together, because I've been told by executives that you prefer to work with Rucco. That's why you two guys are matched up all the time. I mean, that's just what I heard. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
I just put it together that the road trips you don't want to go on, that I end up working with Ryan Rucco because we're willing to work the games on the road.
Ground ball to short, Swanson. Listen, John, I don't make out my schedule. I go where I'm told.
Somebody say something.
I'm cringing.
I'll be very chatty tomorrow.
Oh, good.
That actually happened? Like,
that
usually
happened.
Not extended.
Oh, nope. That is 13 seconds of silence. Ryan Rucco, by the way, is Kay's main fill-in. So he was taking shrapnel during all of that.
Kay's fill-in. He's lead WNBA voice.
But he's Kay's fill-in for the Yankee games, which is why he gets thrown into this conversation.
Right. That was more for our chat, who's diehard WNBA. They don't talk about anything else. If you're a big WNBA fan, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet is where you want to be.
If you care, the two dopes did say they were best friends the next day. They even hugged in the booth mid-inning for the cameras.
Wait. What happened next?
The next day they came and said, oh, weird. That was just kidding. We love each other. And they hugged in suit jackets, which is not easy to do for men, with headphones on in the booth at Wrigley for the cameras to see them not hate each other.
Oh, yeah, that's supernatural.
Yeah. Definitely clears it all up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? Are they friends?
No.
No one's seen Flaherty since. What's your question?
Yeah, he's with Jimmy Hoffa somewhere. Poor John. This is all types of awkward.
I mean, the whole thing was 2 minutes. I had to cut it down to 45 to make it listenable. But before what I hit play on is Flaherty basically calling out Kay for ignoring him on the bus on the way to the ballpark.
I got
to
be honest. I mean, compared to John Flaherty, Michael Kay, you two are like peanut butter and jelly compared to these two guys. I was going to say Sonny and Cher, but I'm like, oh, I think they got divorced. I need a better Romeo and Juliet. I don't know who you and Perloff are, but it's much,
lamb
much
and tuna fish?
Yeah, you're jello and tuna fish.
Jello and tuna fish.
On this show, that makes sense. This was awkward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's not just awkward. That sounds like John Flaherty really thinks Michael Kay's dodging him on the Yankee schedule. Like, that's
he is.
That's a deep cut.
But Michael Kay's like, I don't make my schedule, John. Everyone is like,
I'm pretty sure he does.
I would think
he's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there.
Yeah. It's funny because the only games he doesn't go to is like Oakland and
he skips the crappy cities, which is where the B team gets the reps.
What I hate about these things too is I ended up watching the second clip, and you know they kind of couched it up where you know you had, I can't remember the sideline reporter's name right at the moment.
Meredith Marakovic.
Hey. Yes, Meredith, who's awesome.
Yeah, they pulled her into it.
She was like, hey, do you guys know that people don't think you guys like each other? And they're like, what?
Yeah, Michael Kay, who's literally checking his phone during the games and every moment of his radio show, is constantly scrolling.
He's like, what do you mean? The Yankee clubhouse is talking like this? Really? Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, guys, come on. Like, I guess maybe they thought it'd be funny. It doesn't come off funny to me when you do that. It's like,
because they're not funny people. And they don't like each other.
No, but just the way they went about it the next day, I was just like, this, you made it worse now. Why you're acting like I don't like people make me act like I'm stupid. Like, we all saw that and we're like, oh, there's real beef in the Yankees booth. And they're like, no, you guys are the idiots. How did you guys fall for that? Come on. It's like, don't tell me I'm being worked when I know it's a shoot. Wrestling fans, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I personally, Michael Kay's been very nice to me. We used to go head-to-head against each other, but he's been very nice to me. And Don LaGreca's been very nice, and Peter Rosenberg's been very nice. And I've met them a couple times, and they've all been very nice. Where Kay lost me was a couple months ago, he basically on air threatened to get a morning show producer fired, and then later claimed that he was just joking around.
Right.
And it was not a joke.
No.
And to me, that's where, you know, some of the jokes that they do kind of, like EJ said, kind of falls flat because you're telling me I didn't hear what I heard when you definitely try to use your, like, status to threaten someone who's lower on the totem pole than you. And to me, I was like, man, if that's showing your true colors, which I don't know if it is, but if that is showing your true colors, then that's not the right way to act in this industry. And he knows that.
Yeah, and all of the guys that do Yankee games, you don't go to those broadcasts for their comedic stylings.
That's the Yankees.
Yeah, that broadcast
there's nothing funny about the Yankees ever.
That broadcast is not about personality.
Mets are funny, laugh at them.
Well, kind of at slash
with. Oh, the booth. No, yeah. The booth is boppity bop.
Yeah, they're very funny.
It's very quiet on the Yankee broadcast. Oh, Paul O'Neill's funny.
Yeah, but you.
Wow,
but when
that's your example of humor, Paul O'Neill,
the guy who took a baseball bat to several water coolers throughout his career. He's the funny man.
The bar is low. I don't think Paul O'Neill is doing any sets at Caroline's anytime soon.
2 p.m. on Thursday, you can catch Paul O'Neill there. He's got the lunch show.
Yeah, right.
The Yankees won a baseball game last night. They treated the Royals like Kay treats Flaherty. 10-4, the final score. The Orioles took a 12-3 beating in Boston, so New York leads Baltimore by a game and a half atop the AL East. And that Royal loss drops them 3.5 games behind the Guardians in the Central because Cleveland shockingly beat the White Sox 5-3. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogish. Coming up later in the next hour, Amy Dash, our legal analyst, will join us to talk about Tyreek Hill and the Deshaun Watson situation. So we're getting up to speed on two legal things, the Tyreek Hill being detained by police, and now does he have a case against the police now that the body cam footage is out? And Deshaun Watson, yet another woman accusing him of sexual assault. This one, the details are not good. We have a lot more football for you, though, including, is there a silver lining for Kirk Cousins and the Falcons? We also have the Packers and Jordan Love to get to with some new information about his knee. Don't move.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so this happened on Friday night, obviously, Pearl, against your Philadelphia Eagles. But Jordan Love, at the very end of the game, ends up having an MCL sprain in his knee. Probably with, like, good news, really, because Definitely. It looked like first his ankle may have popped, and then the knee, you weren't sure exactly what it was. But the Packers definitely dodged a bullet. Now, that doesn't mean that they're totally in the clear here, because if the experts are saying anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, you've got to be really careful with this kind of thing. Rushing him back to me does absolutely nothing for you, right?
I have no idea. I mean, I am not a doctor, but I did suffer the same exact injury this February. Everyone knows about my MCL grade 2 sprain.
Yeah, we remember it. T's and P's for you.
I was skiing and accidentally got I got on a black diamond because my wife would not wait for me. I don't know if we went over that in enough detail.
Yeah,
it was completely
her fault.
Went 40 yards downfield and had three kids in Eagles jersey come above me and say, "Sir, are you okay?" And no, I wasn't okay because my leg got caught behind me and I sprained my MCL. Same thing happened to Jimmy Butler. I mean, we're all warriors here.
You, Jimmy Butler, and Jordan Love.
I can actually
see. One of these things is not like the other.
With that play, you could see the inside of his knee. I think, I'm not totally sure. I think that's where the MCL is. You could see a bend. The fact that it's not torn and it's just a sprain.
Yep.
I actually, if I had the right PT and the right drugs and maybe a cortisone shot, I think I could have played in a week or two. But I was
quarterback in the NFL.
I remember how I was limping around here.
Yes, I do.
But the truth is,
I was dead in a Western. I mean, how are you going to get out?
Well, because I was thinking, like, wow, you know, some doctor that Dr. Rock Positano referred me to gave me a pill that made it feel so much better the next day.
Wow.
I'm saying this.
We're learning a lot about you right now.
They could do a lot with sprains. I mean, you have no idea what NFL teams have in their wheelhouse when it comes to this thing. Like, there's a lot that the medical staff can do. So I was not shocked that the fact that it's not torn means he's coming back sooner rather than later.
Well, it's certainly, they didn't put him on IR, which would have been automatically he had to sit out for four weeks. So they're clearly thinking that this is going to be short term. I love that you think that you could have played when you were limping around here and could go 5 feet without telling anybody that your knee was sprained. But here's the thing.
It's
so
true.
You lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in a close game in Brazil. All right, whatever. That game was wonky and weird. So now you're home against Indianapolis, then you're at Tennessee, and then Minnesota. So the question that I'm wondering is, can you win these games with Malik Willis? Now, it is, to me, it was risky from the very beginning to bring in a guy like Malik Willis to automatically be your backup. No matter how bad Sean Clifford was, you have somebody who now has to come in and learn the playbook and somebody who hasn't started a lot. You know, it's not like you're bringing in a quarterback who's got all this experience. Malik Willis is one of the most raw quarterbacks that we have in the league, period, full stop, backup or starter. So can you hold the fort enough here because your schedule, quote unquote, lightens a little bit? You know, it's Indianapolis, it's Tennessee, it's Minnesota. This is not exactly murderer's row. Can Green Bay simply keep themselves alive here? Can Malik Willis do that?
If you can get Jordan Love back on the field, you'd get Jordan Love back on the field. Besides, I don't know. I like Malik Willis, liked him as a draft prospect. He's got physical tools. He can throw the ball a long way. He's obviously a very good runner. We've seen that in his brief NFL time. I think you rush Love out. I think you and I disagree on this.
Really?
Because I do think, I think the Colts is not an easy game. I think the Colts have a lot of good players. And it's at Tennessee and then the Vikings. Yeah, I would rush him back because every game here is critical. You're really going to need these games.
Okay, but you know, you can't let the things have changed now. And I know there were massive expectations for the Packers, but now things have changed because your franchise quarterback, you just paid a ton of money to, by the way, is now dealing with a knee injury. So to me, I don't know if I want to rush him back out there because I don't know if I want like Brian Flores' defense somehow getting to Jordan Love, and now I've lost him for the year.
I'm not sure that this makes him, do we know that this makes him more vulnerable to tearing that?
You wear a brace. I can't imagine it makes it better.
Yeah, but obviously he'd wear a knee brace. I'm not so sure that it's that dangerous. I'll ask my doctor, Dr. Josh Dines, what he thinks, because that's what we do is we ask Perloff's doctors for sports advice.
That should be a segment. Perloff's doctors, the ones that are actually reputable, not the weird OT that you went to that gave you scabies in a makshift whirlpool.
I mean, listen, actually, I don't even know. For all I know, this guy, the guy I saw because Dr. Positano put me on him might be seeing Jordan Love. Like, he's one of the top five knee guys on earth.
It's amazing. You have, like, no middle ground when it comes to doctors. There's not anyone who just simply gets, like, a B. You either have, like, the celebrity doctor to the stars, or you have someone who basically was running a Wuhan clinic but posing as a doctor.
That was 12 years ago. I am seeing nothing but the classiest. Right? At this point, I have a whole, I basically have a direct line to the Mayo Clinic, Maggie. If there's an expert in any medical field, I'm on it. I don't think the injury is as much of a concern as you think. I put this brace on and I feel great.
Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after not only last night's game with the 49ers beating the New York Jets, but after week one in general? Do a Maggie and Perloff. The M&P 500 comes your way next.